As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster. That, of course, is the legendary Gentleman Jenkins, Evan Jenkins. We do podcasts on drafts, prospects, and the future. We call it Bustin' Balls, and we like our logo. But basically, that's what it's about. And this is our time of the year. And the biggest draft's the NFL draft. And I know it got the sizzle a lot of times that it does here, especially when the Lions weren't bad and their draft was known as the Super Bowl. It isn't anymore. But actually, this is a very important draft. And in one of our podcasts earlier, and I would encourage you to check this out, we went over all the edge rushers in great detail. And I gave you my observations on it, which aren't the same as all the draft gurus. I mean, I process all that information and everything, but in mock drafts and look at it. But I look at it and give you specifics that could possibly happen on draft day and what maybe is more real specifically for the Lions in this process. So, to me, and I mentioned this a little bit in our previous podcast, but the player that you hear a lot about, and to me he's a no-brainer for them, is Gray Zabel from North Dakota State. You look, people say, well, it's North Dakota State. North Dakota State is an absolute powerhouse.
Absolutely.
In FCS. They're better than most MAC teams or whatever. Non-power four conference schools, they're right up there with anybody. Now, if they were playing a power four schedule, especially in the Big Ten or SEC, I don't think they would be a dominant team by any stretch. But certainly, they're far more formidable than the label FCS, and you wonder what you're getting. You know, you see from those schools up in the Dakotas, like Christian Watson, you saw great quarterback come through a few years ago, it's terrific football. And this kid reminds me of Frank Ragnow. Just in my observation, remembering Frank Ragnow at Arkansas. Frank Ragnow, when he was at Arkansas, nobody can move him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this guy is quite, but he's about the same size. And he has similar athleticism. I mean, when he pulls, and he ran five flat 40 at 300 and some pounds, which is moving. When he pulls, he moves, and he moves quick. And the Lions obviously like to run those trap plays. And this guy, he's played left tackle. They kick him inside. He can do that. And I think he can cover right tackle eventually, if Sewell moves over to left tackle. So there's a lot of if Decker moves on at some point. I mean, age catches up with everybody. This will be some – and I think they can play him right away.
Yeah. And the Lions, they love versatility with their players. Yeah. Absolutely.
He fits
if they
every
can move
box.
Them around and play. I mean, look at obviously he's not going to be Penei Sewell because he's one of the best offensive linemen in the entire NFL, but just the fact that you can move a guy around and be able to know that they can do whatever you need them to do. I think Glasgow is a prime example of that, too. They would play him at center or guard or whatever they need to be. So I do think that that would be a prime guy for the Lions to target if
he was really good at the Senior Bowl. He tested extraordinarily well.
And they love dudes that just love football too.
He's one of those guys, and like Ragnow, he's an exceptional athlete. I don't think people realize that a lot of these top offensive linemen, you know, are exceptional athletes. We have a classic example who works here, John Jansen.
Mm-hmm.
John Jansen, I never watched him play football. And I saw him play one high school basketball game when he was like in 10th grade or 9th grade. But he would have been able to play easily MAC-level basketball, maybe even—
He said he had offers from the MAC.
Yeah, he definitely— he was a great basketball player.
Well, think about it. He went to Michigan as a tight end.
Right, right. Well, he was an end and a 262-pound linebacker playing at Clawson.
Powerhouse.
Wouldn't have wanted him running, you know, into me. Well, they were pretty good when he was there. What a
Well, I'm sure you got— A kid like that, and you're playing against schools like Royal Oak.
And then the other example is Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson was a quarterback.
I didn't know that.
He was recruited to Oklahoma as a quarterback, I believe. So these guys switch positions. And I remember seeing not the John Runyon that's playing now, but many, many years ago, the other John Runyon.
His dad?
His dad playing for Flint Carmen Ainsworth against Clarkston. And just a phenomenal basketball player. So these guys, they're great athletes. Zabel is one of those guys. You have a 36.5-inch vertical jump, and you're well over 300 pounds. You're exceptional.
Yeah, Jack Campbell was one of those guys. Exceptional high school basketball player.
Right. Well, DeGene, you know, all that. So,
oh, yeah. Jump out of the gym.
But people don't realize. Now, there's two different type of offensive linemen, though, especially on the interior. There's one like this, and then the couple other guys that the Lions might be considering at guard who are the opposite of that. And these are the big dudes. You know, the big
6'7", 330 guys?
Yeah. You know, usually if they're kicked inside, they're not 6'7".
Yeah, more like 6'4".
Yeah.
6'3". Yeah.
The two of them that come to mind, Donovan Jackson from Ohio State.
The
Ohio State. And, you know, if there's a possibility that if I'm noticing this about Zabel, that...
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, teams are
others ours. Are as well.
Yeah, yeah, and he may not be there at 28th. That versatility, it's not just the Lions that like it. So I kind of wondered if he'll be there. That would surprise me to a degree. Now, the other type is the big dude that you put him in there at guard, and they're not expected to trap that much. But what they do, they're the brawlers. Okay, they get in that short space where they don't have to move that much, and they own that space. All right, they slug it out, and they're big, and they're hard to move. They got enough quickness to, but they don't have to kick outside with fancy footwork. Their thing is plowing,
yeah,
battle
rock on the inside, yeah,
yeah. And Donovan Jackson from Ohio State fits that. The other one is Tyler Booker from Alabama. You know, he's a massive dude. You know, one of those guys that is going to be hard to move. Not somebody that you're necessarily going to be able to kick outside at any point. Their chances of being a center, because center involves a little bit more mobility
sure.
for the most part. But these two guys would be able to, you know, look like plug-and-play type of guys for the Lions. And I think they do have some upside at the guard position. So I like those two, you know, where they're going to be in the draft, there's a possibility one of them or both of them could fall to 60 because guard's value isn't that high.
No, and if you really think about it,
pure guards.
How the Lions got to this position is their offensive line. And so I agree with you that I don't think that there's a moment where you let that go by and you don't address those needs before anything else, in my opinion.
And we just don't always give you, like, the, hey, you know, first round, second round guys. The center's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Lions, say, address edge, say they go for, you know, some incredible athlete falls to them, and they just go out of, outside the box, which Brad Holmes has done sometimes, whatever. Later on, there are some candidates, particularly for center, that I like. I really like Drew Kendall from Boston College. You know, to me, he's somebody his father, Pete, played in the league. He's a very athletic and strong. He's taller, like 6'4", 6'5", than what you'd have, and a little more of a, you know, like a tight end type of build. You know, they list him at 299, but it's hard to tell when somebody's in a football uniform and matched up. But he's a little more lanky than what you would normally want for a center. But this is a player that I think is going to play in the league and be a very good player. And there would be a lot of value in him, especially with a third-day pick. But even a second-day pick, I don't think, you know, at 60 overall, he would necessarily be a reach. And another player going through all these different guys that, you know, they have at center and guard that I like is Caleb Rogers from Texas Tech.
Okay.
As a third-day pick. This is a guy that is very athletic. He's played right tackle, but he's going to kick inside, and that may be his best position, will be guard or center. You know, they've talked about him being a center at Texas Tech, but he's never actually played there.
Okay.
So that's somebody that I would look at. So, and I'm not going to just, you know, throw a bunch of friggin' names at you. You know, I'm just these are guys that I would look at. If they take offensive linemen that I've identified and, you know, that would seem to be pretty good value picks where the Lions are taking.
Yeah, but fit with their structure and everything that they're trying to do.
Exactly, and they're good. I think they look like they're going to be good NFL players.
No, and you're right. I think center, like, it was an anomaly to see the Lions go and take Frank Ragnow in the first round when they did, but you can get a lot of great value at center.
Center's an underrated spot.
Exactly. And I think a lot of teams pass on that because I think some teams are afraid of blowback from their fans drafting a center because it's not the sexy
pick. Well, look, we're in the Super Bowl. They had great centers.
Absolutely.
And Philadelphia was prepared one center when another one left.
Well, yeah, and if they don't have a center, their whole tush push and all that doesn't even work.
You know, Lions have centers. I mean, you know, a lot of times top teams.
They have an anchor right there in the middle of their line.
Very underrated position.
And they're calling all the protections for the most part.
Well, they have a big factor in that.
Yeah.
They have to do the snaps.
Yep, exactly. And you got to be on the same page with the quarterback. And it's very, for the lack of sexiness they have, they should have more sexiness.
They control a lot
on the offensive side.
I think the two most underrated positions are center and safety.
Yeah.
You know, because most teams that have great defenses have safeties that are outstanding. You know, think about it. You know, the teams that have won Super Bowls with their defense, they've had great safeties.
Absolutely.
Ravens had Ed Reed. Steelers had Polamalu.
Yep.
The Bucks. You know, and, well, the Steelers also had Roethlisberger, but the Ravens had Flacco and Dilfer. Ed Reed with them.
Yeah, Lynch and
Lynch
Tampa.
Lynch in Tampa when they won with Brad Johnson.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very underrated position. And so is center. You usually look there. Now, the people that used to be with the Lions that they didn't, Kevin Colbert. He won a couple Super Bowls with Pittsburgh, was with the Lions, and he left like 3 months before it all blew up and Matt Millen was hired. This was back in the day, but Kevin just retired as their GM there before last year. And his philosophy and the late Ron Hughes' philosophy, who he brought with him, was to have the strength up the middle, center. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they did is Lions kind of lowballed Jeff Hardings, who was playing guard at the time, a first-round pick. And, you know, Matt Millen's famous quote, I remember him saying this, was he's just a guard. And they took him and made him a center, and he was an all-pro center, and they won the Super Bowl with him. And it was always a key. And then they had the safety. They were always concerned about safety. So those two positions, in a sense, especially if you're a pass to set up the run team like the Lions, it's got to be a priority. Sure. And I know a lot of people talk about edge, and I understand it. I get it. I think offensive line actually is need and priority number one for the Lions, because everything they do, Evan, is done based on their offensive line.
It starts and ends right there, and you couldn't be more right about it. I mean, even look at the pressure that got to Goff in the playoff game against the Commanders. That was something that we didn't see for a lot of games this year, going 15-2. You didn't see a lot of pressure on Jared Goff, and if there's one weakness that Jared Goff has, it's when pressure gets to him, he doesn't create. And if teams can get to him, they think they can win the ball game. So I stand with you 100% on that.
We appreciate it if you download us, the Apple iTunes Store, Google Play Store, subscribe to us. Like us, give us all those 5-star ratings, man. We want it all, and we do. We really do. And Odyssey.com, Pacaputo 98 on X. This is always up there. It's also in the columns that I write for Odyssey.com. And Evan is Gentman Jenkins. He puts that up where he's at. And, of course, we've got the 97.1 The Ticket Facebook page where a lot of people go for this content. But check us out. We enjoy talking about it. And the beauty of this podcast, I can get into more nuance with you than I can do often on the radio and discuss this in detail. And it's all about draft prospects in the future. And this is kind of when we go into like overdrive mode, because, you know, the baseball draft is coming up. The hockey draft is coming up. The NBA draft is coming up. So this is our time of the year. We do it all year round, but this is the time of the year when we really get into drafts specifically. And, of course, we'll keep you abreast on what's going on with the Red Wings and Tiger minor leaguers and all those things. I don't know, Evan, we haven't dug into the Motor City Cruise much lately. But
no, and the Pistons are going to be tough, too, not having a first-round pick this year.
Oh, well. But anyway, enjoyed it. Until next time, we'll talk to you.